Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Q1 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Joshi from Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Raymond. Good afternoon, one and all. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers, I welcome you all to Agrotech Foods 1Q FY18 earnings conference call. We have with us on the call senior management of the company, represented by Mr. Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, and Mr. Abhijit Datta, CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Sachin. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Aditya, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking the time out to be with us. As usual, we'll walk you through the P&L and then answer any questions. Before that, however, just one comment. This is the first period that we are adopting Ind AS, so we've chosen the option to be able to show the results for this quarter and that quarter, which is available to all first-time inductees, if you will, into the Ind AS reporting. All right. So the total net sales for the quarter were about 3% lower than prior year. This reflects primarily the impact of the GST rollout. Now, it's always difficult to quantify, the impact of the rollout, if you will, because inventory figures are never precisely accurate. But our best estimate as a management is that probably about, we must have lost about 16 crores of net sales in the quarter, primarily in the month of June, in terms of inventory reduction in the trade, right? We'll have to see over time how much of this comes back, how much time it takes to come back, right? So broadly, I would say about 800 basis points in terms of top line is the impact of GST, of the June inventory reduction. So if you will, since we've recorded a decline of 3% after taking into account this inventory reduction, probably we were clocking at a growth rate of about 4 to 5% in terms of top line. The bulk of this impact of inventory reduction was borne, although it was across the board, but was, I think, significant. But the greater significant impact was on Sunrop oils and on Act 2 Ready to Cook, which are the larger parts of the business and therefore have a greater salience in the wholesale channels, if you will, right? So the smaller businesses like peanut butter and Act 2 Ready to Eat snacks, the bag snack, continue to grow very well. Peanut butter was up about 55% in this quarter, right? Looking very, very good, right? And you know, I think all our market working and execution seems to be exactly in the right direction, right? And Act 2 Ready to Eat, this is the bag snacks part of it, was up about 23%, right? So both of these actually, since I think they have probably had a lower impact of the GST rollout and the inventory reduction with in the different channels. However, Sunrop oils and Act 2 Ready to Cook did have a significant impact. In the case of Sunrop oils, the net sales for the quarter was lower by about 8%. And in the case of Act 2 Ready to Cook, the net sales for the quarter were lower by about 1%. So let's assume it's kind of flattish at that point in time, right? In total, therefore, this inventory impact probably had an impact on gross margin in our books, in our calculation, of about 4 crores or so. It's difficult to be able to give you a precise figure, but kind of that's the ballpark that we're looking at. So gross margin, as we recorded in our company, which is net sales less cost of goods, less primary trade, came out for the quarter to be about 41.4 crores, right? In the same quarter, in the prior year, it was 43.7 crores, right? So approximately 2.3 crores was the impact on gross margin, was lower. If you take that figure of about 4 odd crores, that means our gross margin will probably have grown by about 1.7%, which is consistent, which is about a 4% increase. So which means GM percentage by kind of would have kind of more or less held similar in terms of in-market sales or, you know, the pre-GST sales, if you will, and with gross margin holding and about a 3 to 4% growth. Kind of that would be our overall take on the business. As you would have seen from the figures, from the advertisement, we reduced our advertising and promotion expenses by about 3.5 crores. This was a clear action in recognition of the fact that there was going to be an inventory reduction, right? And therefore, it has enabled us to continue to deliver a solid performance. We are back on air, so July, August, we're back on air, and hopefully, as the impact and the transitionary impact of GST reduces, we will return back to our solid growth rates. Okay. In terms of employee benefits, they are a little higher than prior year, and this represents really the fact that we continue to invest on feet on street and continue to expand distribution. Interest costs, however, are significantly lower. We're pretty much debt-free, as we had mentioned to you. We told you about probably 5 quarters ago that between quarter one of this year and quarter two of this year, we would be clearing off all the debt, which we've done now. So interest charges are therefore very, very low for this quarter. And in due course, therefore, in the next quarter or so, it should start actually to be a positive line item, right? As a consequence, profit before tax is up by about 10 odd percent, and the profit after tax is up. If you look at these figures where the prior year figures are restated in the context of Ind AS by about 11%, but if you were to do a profit after tax base without the Ind AS adjustment, that figure would be lower by about 6% because there is some amount of charge on account of on account of the ESOPs that we've given in the prior year. Okay, and some impact also of some disallowances that I mentioned earlier, I think last quarter or the quarter before that, on account of the R&D spec. All right, so I would say that's pretty much broadly the picture, right? Anything else you think I need to comment on, right? And as far as all of you is concerned, in the advertisement, we've already mentioned the reconciliation of Ind AS for the prior year with the earlier stated figures. So all that should be fairly easily visible to you, and I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. Okay. So that's it, the commentary from our side. I think if the group wants, we can answer any questions now.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
Hello.
Joined the call a little late, so pardon me if I'm repeating something. Could you just help me with the volume and value growth of all your segments, Sundrop, back to consumer, peanut butter, Crystal, and vending business for this quarter, please?
Sure. Anything else, Sameer? That's it?
Yeah, that's it. I may come back in
the future if I have anything else. Okay. So here are the figures then. For Sundrop Oils, the volume is down 5% and the net sales is down 8%. So that reflects basically the fact that the inventory impact was greater on our more expensive oils. That is why there is a 300 basis point difference there. In the case of peanut butter, our volume growth was 81% and our revenue growth was 55%. That is reflective of the fact that we got a lot of volume growth because of the introduction of the 924 gram pack, right? Which has obviously helped also in terms of share and in terms of better manufacturing overhead recovery. But then it reflects in some difference in the revenue growth rate. We would have done a little over 8 crores of peanut butter this quarter, right? In terms of the Act 2 consumer business, it was at about 30 crores for the quarter, for the first quarter of this year, versus about 29.4 crores last year, same quarter. So that means in total, the active consumer business was about 2% up in terms of revenue. The picture in terms of volume is not too different, right? The volume volume growth was also 2%. So there is no difference. Both volume and value are tracking in similar proportion. In terms of crystals, there was a volume growth of 10%. And a net sales growth of 4%. The reason that there's a 600 basis point variance here is due to the fact that actually commodity prices are lower as compared to prior year. The vending business, the corn business was down about close to 10%. And just it's a rounded off figure in terms of both volume and value. right? And a fairly similar picture for Tortilla also, which we said. So let's assume the vending business in total was about down about close to 10% in volume and value. And that's really the breakup of volume and value of all the segments. Okay?
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for asking the question. Actually, I should have put this forward first, so thank you for your help on that. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajeshwar Ataluri from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. So actually, I have three questions for you. So congratulations first of all for a good set of numbers. So for my first question is, what are the actual crystal sales number for the quarter and popcorn sales and the vending business?
Okay, second question.
Second question is, how we are getting better in taste just like Maggi by Nestle? So that we can, sorry?
No, I didn't get that question. Better in?
In taste of Act 2, preparing Act 2 popcorn.
Yeah.
So just like Maggi, where the consumers used to addict to the taste, right?
Yeah.
So how can we protect this honey jar from the competitors?
Okay.
And the third question is, so considering the global popcorn industry, which is approximately 50,000 crore market, and US is the half of it, right? 50% of this. And when compared to Indian popcorn market, it is 300 crore in size. So how do we see the Indian market to shaping up to increase?
Okay.
Should it be close to developed markets, or how we are doing to get to increase in this penetration?
Okay, thank you. That's it? So these are the three?
Yeah. Can I ask the fourth question, sir?
When you ask, you can ask everything if you like.
Yeah. So it's regarding the distributor side. So I want the breakup of wholesale, and just like you have told me last quarter, so you will give the wholesale distributor and retail distributor, you have increased the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want the breakup of this. That's it.
Okay. So, let's see. All right. So, let's go to your first question. The actual sales for Crystal in terms of revenue were about 30.7 crores for the quarter. Last year, same quarter was 29.6 crores. So, that represents the 4% growth rate that I had mentioned earlier. In terms of the vending business, if I take the total of corn and tortilla put together, that's about very little. So about 3.6 crores in the quarter. Yes.
3.6.
And in fact, it's about 3.6 crores in total for the last year's same quarter as well, right? In value, right? In volume, it's a little different because, you know, the tortilla sells at a higher price than the corn on a per.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. So that's the first answer to your first question. In terms of the second question, in terms of better in taste, see, we need to keep giving flavoring offerings, right? But I think we are in very good shape from a competitive position on ready-to-cook popcorn. We don't think our worry is about do we have enough flavors and things like that. So, for example, many companies have entered the popcorn market. The last most recent one has been Inox, right? And, you know, they've all struggled, including Inox, right? You'll probably be able to... Somebody will have to mute the call here. Huh? If you can just mute it, you have got a sound system. Rajeshwar, maybe you muted. Ha, correct. Okay. So we don't really see that we have any issue from a competitive standpoint in terms of taste. What ours, and we have an adequate amount of flavor offerings, right? We always can do more and add more, but I don't think that's the issue. The issue was how do we expand distribution of ready-to-cook popcorn, okay? If you see, obviously it's difficult to judge performance in a category when you are the lead player and a very, very strong player. But if you see, overall, from an execution level perspective, I think we are doing pretty well in most of the categories that we compete in. So I'll just share some numbers with you. You can maybe just take a pen and paper and write it down, right? We don't buy any data, but as and when we get access to data, you know, we are able to share it with you. So if you take look at the tortilla chip estimated in the Indian market in FY16, the market was estimated at about 1,100 tons, right? And the estimate for FY17, it's closed at about 1600 tons, right? So that means it's added about 500 tons over the year. Now, if you look at the incremental volume of this 500 tons, more than 250 tons has come from Act 2, right? So about 50% of the category volume, incremental category volume, has actually been driven by us in a category where we were brand new. We just entered less than 24 months ago, and we are already the number two player, and we're about half the size of Cornitos. A very similar trend in value. The category was estimated at about close to 60 crores in FY16. It went up to about 90 crores in FY17. So that means the category grew again by 50%, about 30 crores in value in consumer price, right? Not in company price. And of this 30 crores, about 12 crores came from us, right? So that's one cut on how we are doing in categories where, you know, where we are also competing with other people. We could even be the second entrant, right? But we are clearly doing very well here, and we are competing very well, including Frito-Lay entered only 2 quarters after us. And yet, I think they are probably, you know, between half and a third of our size, okay? If you look at spreads, again, we were, you know, we are the new kids on the block. But if you take a look at Euromonitor data, between 2012 and 16, you know, we were not even anywhere in the top five. We probably weren't even in the top 10 players, right? But between 2012, we were about 1.9% of the spreads market, all India. In 2016, as per Euromonitor, we have to about 3.9%. So you almost doubled, right? And we are now the number four players. Now, contextually, in the same period, Dabur was 39%. It came down to 28%. Kisan was 21%, they came down to 16%. And the only two people who really grew in this market were us and Nutella. Nutella was 10%, it grew to 18%, right? So I don't think we are too worried about our execution capabilities. It is clear that we are winning. We are winning even against companies which are much larger than us, right? These are large companies which we are talking about in comparison with much greater resources than us, right? They include Frito-Lay, they include Dabur, it includes Hindustan Lever, right? And we are winning. But I think the challenge for us is how do we scale it up? How do we, you know, start, how do we scale it up? And which is where our portfolio and distribution expansion comes in, right? So to repeat, we are not at all worried. Even in the popcorn business, a lot of people have come in. Most of them are either disbanded or are in the process of disbanding, right? But we need to figure out how to scale up, and that is what we continually say. That is why we added, expanded our portfolio so that we can afford to do the distribution expansion. All right. In terms of the global popcorn business, well, it's, I'll try and give you some countries. I'm not sure, maybe I've given this to you guys earlier. If I haven't, I'll give it to you now. That's the right way. The U.S. is clearly the most penetrated, if you will, popcorn market, both ready to eat and ready to cook. And the U.S., I think, in the U.S. in 2016, the popcorn market accounted for about 7.6% of the total snacks market, right? So I don't remember the exact number offhand, but it would have been somewhere the absolute size in the U.S. would be in the $18 to $20 billion range, right? So you can assume, therefore, the total popcorn business in the U.S. was about $1.6 billion in that ballpark, and probably about half of that is ready to eat and half of that is ready to cook. It's possible that ready-to-eat is actually even larger than ready-to-cook, right? So that's one market. If you take a market which is again located in North America, that's Canada, the popcorn share of the snacks market is about 4.8%. If you go to a market again in North America, the popcorn share is about 3%, right? So if you will, a 3 to 4% kind of range, it certainly seems to be achievable for us, right? And possibly even a little more. Right now, as per the same database, India is at about 1.1%, right? In that period, 2016, right? So certainly, you know, about 3% is not unforeseeable, right? And you can do the maths on it; it will be a fairly significant size as far as the total market is concerned, right? Well above the kind of 500 odd crores that we're talking about that we have set as our near-term benchmark, right? The rest of the world, honestly, the popcorn markets are very small, right? China is about 0.1%, Philippines is about 0.7%. The only exception is Brazil, which is also a large popcorn market, right? So we still have a lot of headway, but at the same time, as we've diversified over the last couple of years into different types of snacks, not only ready to eat popcorn, but tortilla chips, and we're gradually getting into Indian snacks as well. I think where we're going to play is going to be much larger. Okay? So that's number three. And number four, hold on, I didn't note down question number four. Arjit, what was it?
The distribution progress and expansion.
Huh. So distribution progress, I can only say that I'll probably give you more detailed numbers in the next quarter call. But right now we continue to invest in feet on street, and you know we are adding right now a fairly disproportionate share of our investment is going in the Northeast, right? Because we just set up our first plant in Mangalore near Guwahati, right? But we are not the first people to set up a snacks plant there. Pratap Foods, which is Yellow Diamond, already has two plants, one in Guwahati and one in Gauripur. And there are other people as well playing there. So that obviously the moment you set up a plant, then you want to ensure that you get the throughput from the plant and the velocity. So that's why we are investing there. And aside from that, in a couple of other areas in the country, right? So I won't be able to give you exact numbers, but end of quarter two, certainly you'll get it. And as you can see from the P&L, we continue to make sure that we maintain investment and keep expanding our distribution. Okay. Thank you, Rajesh.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Aditya, back to you. Rio, sorry.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Next, we have a follow-up question from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Percy Panthaki here. Sir, a couple of questions from me. Firstly, just wanted to know if you have tracked the ratio of sales divided by the number of outlets you directly reach and how that ratio has changed over time. So, I mean, not for the company overall, but let's say for your foods business or for your popcorn business, actually, if you take the sales and divide it by the number of direct outlets covered, how has that ratio changed over, let's say, last 3 years or 4 years, something like that? And secondly, just wanted to know, in terms of the absolute size, the ready-to-eat popcorn for you guys, how big is it in absolute rupees million? And what kind of plans do you have to scale up that product over the next 2 to 3 years? What are your ambitions or targets in terms of revenues from this product, basically?
Okay, thank you. So first thing is, you know, in terms of sales per outlet, at the time when you do distribution expansion, invariably the sales per outlet will fall, the average will fall. Because when you go into distribution expansion, which is the mode that we are in right now, whatever the number you are at today, when you go to another 50,000 new stores, and we are adding about 50,000 new stores, the throughput per store of those 50,000 stores is definitely going to be lower than your current universe. Right? Okay. If it isn't, then you have a problem that you are not, you were missing out on a lot of low-hanging fruit. Right? So that number will be low. However, that is necessary to do because that's, you know, that's the way to get growth. That's why in the early days, you don't expect an immediate return on distribution investment. If you remember 2-3 years ago, we started this exercise of pruning SG&A, cutting our costs, included management compensation, a lot of other things, right? And the whole deal was that we need to fund distribution in terms of feet on street, and we're not going to get the return immediately. It's a 2-3 year payback. Okay, so the answer is definitely it will fall. You can take that as a given, right? The only situation in which it won't is if you add the wholesalers in the market. So as I mentioned earlier, about 2 quarters ago, we started building up an aggressive wholesale network because that's pretty critical from a bag snacks perspective. Right? It's a raw velocity, particularly at the 5 rupee price point, and you know you need to give the distributor that turnover. If you add that, the throughput per store of the wholesaler will be very high, extremely high, right? Because if you look at the model followed by somebody like Pratap Snacks, who doesn't really use the conventional distributor model but does more of a deal-making with large customers in select markets, they will be shipping truckloads to that customer, right? That's how they built up a business of 70 crores. Profitability will always be a challenge in that model, in our belief. We may be right or wrong. That's another story, right? But if you add those, then it will be a different. But then it could depend on how many wholesalers are there in that average, so on and so forth. In terms of the absolute size of the popcorn market, see, one of the reasons we've chosen now, and we'll define it in terms of ready-to-eat snacks, right? So that's a potpourri of of ready-to-eat popcorn. It includes extruded snacks, and it includes tortilla chips, and in the future it will include more products. Is also that from a shareholder perspective, it is better that we provide this information to you, and we'll provide broad direction in terms of how each of these segments is going to go. Right. So to put it into perspective, our ready-to-eat popcorn business in this quarter was close to 5 crores, right? And last year was close to 4 crores. That's why there's a 23% growth in terms of revenue. That includes tortilla chips, it includes ready-to-eat popcorn, and it includes extruded snacks. Obviously, the largest portion of this is the tortilla chips at this point in time. Where do we expect ready-to-eat popcorn to be? We expect it to be equal to ready-to-cook popcorn. There is no reason it will not be. It will be. It is the case across the world. In many markets across the world, ready-to-eat popcorn has crossed ready-to-cook popcorn, right? And we are, I think, now gradually getting to a very, very good space. There's the fifth plant operational. So, for example, I was in Guwahati market the other day, and, you know, we had 10-day old stock, and our competitor from UP had a month and a 10-day old stock. So there's no comparison, right? You get fresher product, you know, your freight is less. We're down probably, I think, to about 12% now in terms of our average freight on ready-to-eat popcorn, which would have been about 28% when we started, right? So all the right muscles have been built up. Right now, the business is small. I've given you the figures last year. I think it was the 5 crore range, something like that. But it will grow tremendously, right? So for now, you can assume ready-to-eat bag snack business close to 5 crores, 23-25% growth. And I think there will be more to come.
Sir, over what period of time this will happen, that ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook will be approximately the same size?
I had a crystal ball to be able to answer that question and say it will be there in 2 years and 9 months or something like that, right? The answer is, I think we won't be able to tell you. We've never defined time, right? But it will happen, right? Okay. I mean, if you know, our ready-to-cook popcorn was less than 10 crores 10 years ago. It was about 78 crores, right? Today it is well in excess of 100 crores, right? So, yeah.
That's all from me. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Gupta, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Gupta, you can go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, so basically I'm in want of the segmental data regarding the advertisement spends and also about the distribution reach, and what are the plans to increase in the coming future?
Manoj, you have to mute your line because there's too much noise coming.
Sorry, sir?
If you can just mute your line because there's too much noise.
Now can you hear me?
Fine, just mute it. I'll answer your question, okay? Thank you. So, on advertising spends, you know, as you can see, there's not too much investment that we did in this current quarter, right? So, but I can tell you broadly how we spend our money in the year in terms of the breakup, right? We spend about 6 to 7 crores a year on peanut butter. We spend about 12 to 15 crores on Act 2, on our snacks business. And we spend about 4 or 5 crores on Sunrop Heart. Right? These are the primary areas of spending. So if you total these up, it will come to what, about 12, 13 plus 7, 20 plus 24, 25. So that's the amount of media, and broadly that's the breakup, and that hasn't changed too much over the years, and it's unlikely to change over the years. Okay? The absolute amounts may change. In terms of our distribution, I think I already answered the question. I said I'll give you more details in terms of the exact number of people and the feet on street that we have at the end of the first half. But we continue to make progress. Our goal is to grow and expand coverage by about 50,000 stores this year, and I think we are all set to be able to achieve that. Okay. So, thank you. Thanks, Aditya. Back to you, Rio.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Joshi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. We have launched our Sundrop peanuts, like we have backward integrated, as said, from peanut butter to selling Sundrop peanuts. Sir, can we do same in the Act 2 popcorn, like as the Prabhat Foods have already come out with their 5 rupee popcorn, and they have also added a flavor in it. So do we also expect that can we come out with the same thing like from act 2 to act 2 ready to eat? And as we have seen that ready to eat popcorn has been growing than ready to cook. So, and the price point as well, they have come out with 5 rupee price point. So can we see something like that for our company as well?
Yeah, so in act 2 actually the diversification has been very steady. We started off with ready to cook popcorn. We moved into ready to eat popcorn, which we are still refining because we didn't have the right supply chain. We took it into extruded snacks. I would say probably 30% success rate there. We took it into naturals and probably got a 90 or 100% success rate there, right? So Acme will continue to expand into a much broader range of snacks. This, to be honest, is only the beginning, right? And you will see the Acme brand even including in this year entering into new snack categories, not new variants, but new snack categories, along with the expansion of manufacturing and distribution footprint that in any case we are doing. Ditto is the case for Sunrock. Our thinking was that we would be able to get into Sunrock peanuts in a reasonable transition from peanut butter. That has been 100% true. The product is now starting to get accepted. It takes time for a product which is originally just an edible oil to be migrated into snacks, for consumers to accept it as a snack. But once that happens, then the number of additional products that you can add into it is very high. Our planning was, and that seems to be, I think, the right direction so far, is that in the snacks market, which today is, let us say, about $3 billion, and will probably grow to about $5 billion in the next 5 years for sure, right? So 5 meaning it will be about 35,000 crores. About half will be Indian snacks and about half will be Western snacks, right? It's also possible that Indian snacks could be bigger than Western snacks. My understanding is that in China, which is already, I think, at around $15 billion or so, in that ballpark, right? More than half of it is Chinese snacks, right? So there is no reason to believe that India will follow a very, very, very different trajectory. Yeah, China actually last year was already $16 billion, right? So we felt that we don't want to take Act 2 into Indian snacks, but we can comfortably take Sunrock into Indian snacks. So we've already launched the peanuts, and there'll be one more product that we launch, extend Act 2 into Sunrock into in the snacks category in the next 3 to 4 months. Yeah. Okay, so you will see a whole range of Indian snacks coming out under the name of Sunrock, and you'll see a whole range of Western snacks coming out under the name of Act 2.
Okay, sir, got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajeshwar Ataluri from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for again giving me the opportunity. Sir, one more question. As we discussed in the previous quarter, regarding the stores we have reached, can you give me the segmental wise for the quarter?
On stores?
Yeah, distribution stores.
No.
We have reached?
I won't be able to give you segment wise for the quarter, no. See, we don't buy any retail audit, so we only rely on data either on internal reporting, and I think that we give it to you, but we give you segment-wise kind of distribution at the end of the year, right? But I have only one external data point. I can give it to you for Protea chips, right? And that is in Protea chips category, let's see. That would mean? I can give that to you. In the end of FY17, the distribution of Cornitos, which is the market leader, was 27,000 stores. The distribution of Act 2 was 28,000 stores. And the distribution of Mexico's was 29,000 stores. So all three were close to 30,000 stores range. Okay? All right?
Fine.
So I won't be able to give you, we track it internally, but I don't think it's that quality to be able to give it to you. This is the one piece of external data we have. Okay?
And what the institutional, sir? Institutional?
On institution, what did you want to know?
Same thing, distribution stores.
No. We don't.
We have shared me before to it is around 50,000 stores, right?
No, there's no such thing as institutional 50,000.
Fine. And one more thing, sir, regarding the product mix, you have informed us you are entering into new product categories in this first half-yearly. So what are the plans?
So that will tell you at the end of the book. End of the book.
Sure. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Shraddha D'Souza from Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. So I just wanted to understand the Sunrup Oil little better. So, you know, we've seen gradually that Saffola competitor has gradually gained market share substantially over the last couple of years. And so what are our views on that and how do we see in increasing the market share for Sunrup?
Okay, so I think our position is very clear. Sunrup edible oil is not a strategic business for us. We are committed towards building a business which is far more solid than edible oil, right? And I won't be able to comment on Marico and their strategy, but you know, I'm sure they'll do a good job of articulating that, right? That is the reason why we also spend much less on the category, right? We spend on an average on edible oils about, as I mentioned earlier to the gentleman, about 4 crores a year. Right,
okay.
And our competitor will be spending in the region of 30 plus crores a year.
Right.
For sure, as a consequence, would have lost share. We don't buy retail audit data, so we can't tell you how much share we'd have lost or not. But I did review Euromonitor data, oddly enough, which seems to suggest that, and I'll give you the data, right, in terms of share of in retail, percentage of millions of dollars. What it's saying is that in the year 2011, the Sunrup share of the total of Marico plus Agrotech was 29%, in 12 was 31%, in 13 was 34%, and in 16 was 36%, right? So I think these numbers exaggerate a trend. I think we would definitely have lost some share. So I would treat these with a pinch of salt, as all data should be viewed. You know, we have to extract and interpret through it. But I suspect that the share loss has been much less than one would have anticipated, considering the difference in spending, right? Cumulatively, if you see, let's take 17, 16, 15, 14, 13. Let's take a five-year period. Plus spending would have been 36, 21, 57, plus 30, 87, plus 31, 17, 120. Would have been about 150 crores.
Okay.
In the five-year period, right? This is not post, this is just edible oil. And
right.
Our spending in this period would have been 10, 15, 21, 26, 29, 30 crores.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you can expect that there should be some movement in share. I am not sure how significant that movement is, to be honest. Certainly, it is not in proportion to the amount of investment we believe that the two companies have made.
Okay. But this is despite the fact that even now Sunrup is the largest contributor to sales currently. So, you know, if this trend continues where we continue to spend less on Sunrup, so there is a possibility that we lose further market share to Saffola.
It's entirely possible, and that's part of what we bargained for. But in the process, we would have built a very nice business in other areas, right? And that's the progress of the company. That's why we are saying food will be 50% of our business. It's about 25% of the business today. And, you know, it should accelerate. We moved from 2 to 25 in 10 years. We should certainly move from 25 to 50 in much less than 10, right? And we would have created a wonderful business, right? We have always believed and continue to believe that edible oils will be a business where, you know, which will be challenging for companies in the long term. Okay.
And for the previous financial year, so for FY17, if you could give the distribution outlets for oil and snacks broadly?
Yeah, Shada, I would have given it at the end of the quarter. Yeah. Okay, so if you just go back to that call, you'll find it there. Okay? All right?
Okay.
But if I was to give you a broad number at the end of last year, edible oils would have been in the 60-odd thousand range, 50 to 60,000 range. Edible oils are not very widely distributed, neither ours nor America's, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we would have mentioned a figure for peanut butter close to 50,000 stores, and you
okay.
would have mentioned a figure of proteases in the region of about 25,000 stores. That 25 tallies with the data that I just mentioned earlier, which was showing 20,000 stores. And I would have mentioned Act 2 in total at about 250,000 stores, you know, which is primarily driven by Ready to Cook.
Sorry, Act 2 I did not get.
Ready to Cook at about 250,000 stores.
How much for that?
250,000, 250.
Okay.
There are right. Give up 8 cents.
Right. This is what the number you had given. Okay. Lastly, in terms of the profitability, how does the gross margin and EBITDA stand for oil and snacks separately?
We don't report EBITDA margin separately by category. As you know, even in the segment, and I mean,
honestly speaking, we track it at gross margin, and that's why we have only one segment, which is the foods business, which we declare. Okay? You know, you are all clever people. You know the sales numbers. You're much more clever than us. I'm sure you can do the math and figure it out.
Okay.
In the next one.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Swati Tien from Zen Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Sir, I want to understand in a broader sense, like, I mean, we are starting a plant in West Bengal, right? So I just want to understand the timeline that we have set up for that plant, and is it anything specific for like our Bangladesh subsidiary? Are we focusing on exports kind of thing? That's my first wanted to know.
Okay.
Then the second one is like I wanted to understand the advertising ratio to sales this year. Will it be in the same range of last year, or do we have any plan to increase it?
Okay.
And my third question is on since we became debt free and possible improvement in cash flows, are we looking at any possible domestic acquisitions or anything in that segment? And one last is I just want to understand the margin difference for domestic snacks versus the Western snacks, sir, if possible. I mean, which will have the higher margins, or will it impact? I mean, is the focus towards domestic snacks? Will it impact the margin expansion kind of?
Okay. Give me a moment.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to take the last point first. There we go. Okay. Let's take your first question on margins. All right. So, you see, the data seems to suggest that Western snacks have a better margin than, the data seems to suggest that Western snacks have a better gross margin than Indian snacks. Okay? So if you look at it category by category, for example, we do shadow costing for all categories, a category like potato chips, in theory, will have a larger gross margin.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? Aditya, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, this is the operator. We can hear you, sir.
Okay. Just stay on the line, Rayo. I think Swati is not able to hear. So I'll continue now, okay, since you can hear. All right. So the data seems to suggest, if you look at it at a very high level, that Western snacks have a higher gross margin. Gross margin defined as net sales less cost of goods is higher for Western snacks as it is for Indian snacks. But when you actually get into the companies, right, and you do the analysis of the companies, and I'm not talking about listed companies, I'm talking about unlisted companies, you find actually that the profit after tax margins of the Indian snack players are not that much lower than the Western snacks players. All right. So many of you would have seen, for example, the data on Balaji some years ago, which was published. You know, they were showing 18% of data. And we also we pulled out some packed data for companies like Haldiram, both Haldiram in the north, Haldiram in the east, Parle Agro, right? And they're all operating in PAT margin in the region of 7 to 8%, right? So I think the final operating margin that you extract from the category is a function, obviously, of how much is the gross margin, which is net sales less cost of goods, right, at the top, which we have products which are very good profile. But equally, Indian snacks, because their freight efficiencies are greater, and Indian companies in many cases, because their SG&A, operating SG&A will be much lower than those of multinational players, are also able to deliver reasonable profit margins, right? So I think while prima facie one would argue that expect that Indian snacks are less profitable than Western snacks,
I think it all depends on the structure of the company and the role that that segment is playing for the company. Okay, right? If you expect to do an Indian snacks business with a huge amount of incremental SG&A, right, I think it's going to be a problem. If on the other hand, you can use Indian snacks to actually reduce your SG&A because, you know, you have a broader scale and a bigger distribution and more active distributors, it can probably help you to become a more efficient and a more scalable business. All right. So that was the reason it's in the latter half that our belief lies. And that is one of the reasons, therefore, about 3 years ago, we said, let's start taking baby steps towards Indian snacks. There is nothing huge organization announcements, anything like that. It's just baby steps and we'll do it over a period of time. So that's your answer to point number four. I might as well work backward. In terms of, now that we are in, we are debt-free, see, as we said earlier, we are not spending that much of capital now because we've already got capacities, you know, for close to 4,500 crores. And we are probably selling foods. Last year we sold about 170 crores. So we still have a long way to go. We need to make some investments for balancing, right? But those won't be so significant as the capital that investments that we made in the last 4-5 years. So probably it will be in the region of 8-10 crores. And, you know, we pay dividend payout of about 5 crores. So certainly we are going to start accumulating cash, right? Our cash flow will be, we will be producing cash flow in total of between 50 and 60 crores. And, you know, that's what we've been producing. If you look, you know, we have about 20 crores now of depreciation loan, right? So if you take last year's pack, it was close to 30, 50 is where we are. So we will have to see how to, what is the best utilization of this cash and to be deployed in many reasons. We are not for sure going to sit on cash for long periods of time. I don't think we'll do that, right? So we'll evaluate what is the best way in terms of delivering the best return to the shareholder, okay? And we'll certainly pursue that and go for that, all right? Then on A&P, yes, you can certainly assume that the A&P rate for the company percentage this year will be similar to last year, right? That actually means our running rate for the next three quarters has to be higher because the A&P percentage for the first quarter is very low, right? Which was necessitated because of this huge, huge inventorization impact on account of GST, but we certainly would like to see it this low. So last year, I think we have maintained a similar figure to the prior year, and I hope that we can do the same thing this year also, right? Let us see how this quarter goes and the other quarters go, but a similar percentage, I think, is a reasonable bet, okay? And lastly, in terms of West Bengal, no. There's no immediate plans to start West Bengal. We've only applied for conversion of land. At this point in time, the conversion hasn't happened. I won't be able to give you a timeline on West Bengal because, you know, it all depends on when the government gives us approval. It's not that we're in a tearing hurry to have the plan, but at the same time, you know, it's the right thing to have. So we just, you know, we'll be patient and wait it out. We'll keep, you know, visiting the government and seeking approval, but and following through. I can tell you, yes, as far as Chittoor is concerned, we broke ground a couple of months ago, probably a month and a half ago. And construction has started now. And I would expect that the Chittoor plant, which is Chittoor, as you know, is halfway between Chennai and Bangalore. And that's an important location as well because, you know, Chennai and Bangalore are big markets. I would expect that sometime by around middle of next year, the Chittoor plant should be operational. Okay? So that's the planning that I can give you. You asked about exports. See, we have businesses in both Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. They're both small. We are not intending to put a lot of money out from India and build a huge business in either of these markets. We've seeded the businesses, right? The plant in Bangladesh will actually be producing some goods this quarter and, you know, we'll be shipping into India, right? From there, this is also built as a contingency plan for India imports. And we'll also be having a fledgling operation in Sri Lanka, but they'll be very small and they won't be material to the P&L at this point in time or even in the next 2 to 3 years. But it's just that is part of the territory that we have been given responsibility to by the parent company, which is Conagra, and so we are fulfilling that responsibility properly. Okay? All right. Our focus will remain India. Let's put it like that. Okay? But these are important points to do and we are doing them. Okay, Rio, over back to you. If there's any questions, otherwise I guess we are approaching the end.
Sure. Well, the next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question again. Just one last one from me. Sir, how about the GST rates and the rates prior to the GST around your categories, edible oils, peanut butter, extruded snacks, Act 2 ready to eat, ready to cook. Can you just give a sense on that?
Yeah, so see, right now we are basically broadly operating in the 5 and the 12% range, okay? Some of our products were in 12, earlier some were in 18. As we expected, we didn't see too much of a turmoil, and we told you this earlier, in terms of the rate structure on our business. What we are also doing is in line with the Anti-Profiteering Act. What we are doing is ensuring that if there's any benefit that we are getting, that is being passed on to the consumer, right? So you see some amount of price changes actually in the downward direction. That could also help us because, we have a lower percentage of utilization today. So from a capacity utilization standpoint, it should be good. But, that's at a broader level and a higher level in expectation. But we are fully compliant with all the laws that surround the implementation of GST, both in terms of any tax rates that have changed, and in terms of passing on any input tax credit that we are getting. Okay? It's an important point, and thank you for raising it. So I want to just reaffirm 100% compliance.
Okay. And on edible oils, hello?
Yes?
Sir, on edible oils, you were paying a 12% rate, is it, before?
Five, but there was some, it varied by state, right? Okay?
Okay.
There were some variations by state, that's all.
Okay.
So that's why I said nothing significant. Hmm?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Sampat, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. We are putting up new plants since the last 2-3 years, but the volumes are not going up. I can understand that you are bringing down the vending business and increasing the more profitable retail business. But still, what are our capacity utilizations? And has they gone down for the old plants? What is the...
Yeah. So, Mr. Zandar, thank you for asking the question. As I mentioned to you just now, our capacity today on the food business is in the region of about 450 to 500, not precisely there. And our net sales for the foods business, as you're all aware, and I mentioned it earlier, was about 170 crores. So you can do the math; it will come to in the region of about 40-odd%. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Ray, any further questions?
Yeah. Hello. Can I put one more question? So,
please give me all your questions at one shot, and I'll try and answer them. Okay. Give me as many as you have. We'll answer them. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, does it not make sense to get more products faster, or just acquisition or something? Because I mean, such a low capacity utilization, and I mean, we are knowing that we are going to get 2 more plants in the next. So are we planning that we work at optimum capacity? What is the plan?
Okay. Any other question, Mr. Sambar?
No, but that's all.
Okay, thank you. So the answer is, our immediate priority is to be able to improve our capacity utilization. Some of the plants that we are also setting up are not necessarily full capital investments. So if you take the plant in Guwahati, actually a lot of the machinery, most of the machinery that is in the plant has been moved from some other plants. All right. So the idea is to build or locate the capacities closer to the plants. And that is the reason why we said that even though there are new investments being made, we don't expect in the foreseeable future that our capital requirements are going to be so large in relation to the cash that the company is generating, that is going to suck out all that cash. It's not going to do that, right? So, and that is why the question, I think, which Swati had raised, which was her third question, right, which is that there is a surplus cash flow and we'll have to decide what to do with it over the next 12 to 18 months. Okay?
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So, are we done now?
We have one last question.
Okay, we'll take the last one.
Sure. The last question is from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers. Please go ahead. Mr. Mayur Parkeria, you may go ahead with your question.
Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, Mayur. We can hear you loud and clear.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. 3 questions from my side. Should I put them all together?
Handy, please. Thank you. Appreciate that.
The first one is a more operational side. When you give this distribution broad numbers which you have given, whether for edible oil around 60,000, 65,000 distribution points, peanuts 50,000, Act 2 to quarter of a million, can you just help us in understanding the geographical spread in India, how these have been, means in terms of whether they are more, because when we look at many of the organized retail chains in Pune, where I am situated, or where, you know, even in, we don't see the visibility as much as what a brand like, you know, Agrotech could have had. So just wanted to understand what would be the geographical, you know, color in terms of the focus for each of them. So that was one thing. The second is, at a more strategic level, in the past we have not shied away in, you know, removing big chunks from our sales in terms of the earlier the wholesale businesses which we had, institutional and seed businesses. Then we removed the Rath, then we removed the, now we have reduced the vending business. Is there any thought now about edible oils? You have mentioned that it's not a strategic product, but if one has to understand, it's still, you know, 60% of our sales, and may not be as profit generative because it is, our competitive advantage is much less there. So is there a strategic thought, maybe not immediately, but over the next couple of quarters or something like that, to actually why keep that business at all if that's not a strategic point? And from an investor shareholder point, Agrotech has been slightly on the lower side, to put it in a shareholder creation wealth. So why have that low profitability product line at all? And so that's the second one. And thirdly, did I understood it correct that over the next 3 to 4 years we would not require any large capex plans, and we would generate I'll say sufficient free cash flow over the next 4 to 5 years, which we will have to think to deploy, right? And sorry to add one more. We see the likes of McCain's going very aggressive on many of the ready-to-cook segments. We have Lamb Weston, we have the ConAgra brands, and our parents, there the product profiles are extremely strong. What is the line of thought in introducing them, and why not do it a bit more aggressively than what we want? No, what we have been doing, sorry. That's it from us.
Okay, thank you. So Rio will answer these four and then we can close. So yeah, in terms of geographical color, I would say there's nothing really significant from a food perspective. The only thing I can tell you is that the crystal business is largely sold in Andhra Pradesh.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is one part of the business. That's the exception. And the other is Sundrop Oils. We have a better presence in South and East as compared to North and West. Right? So, but other than that, I would say we're pretty well distributed in relationship to whatever is the per capita income of that geography. And including in a city like Pune, I would say if you go into any, for example, let's take any of the chains, you will find our presence in the snacks department is way beyond our share, way beyond our share. If you do the maths, if you go into a snacks section, you'll find we have a large section for ready-to-cook popcorn, and we have a very large section for ready-to-eat snacks.
So will it be more on the organized retail or even on the mom and pop store?
So I'll we'll have to close now, okay? Mayur, so, you know, you just have to, I'm giving you that organized retail. In terms of unorganized retail, smaller retail, obviously we're in the process of distribution expansion. And it's a continuing journey, right? But you will see our presence is reasonably good today. In terms of, no, there is no divestment plan at all, right? The Sundrop Oils business is our base. It is the crown jewel of the company. And that is what we are using to be able to build a large and very impactful foods business, right? All the successes that we are seeing today on peanut butter, on tortilla chips, on popcorn, these have not come from nowhere. These have been enabled by the fact that we have a brand called Sundrop Oils, right? However, our mission is to make that brand much more than an edible oil brand, and that is what we are working towards. While we protect the revenue and the profitability, so there is absolutely no plan on that front. Okay? To your question on, yes, there is no large capex. I think I've already mentioned that 3 or 4 times, so it doesn't need to be repeated again. And we will certainly ensure that as there is free cash flow, we'll see how best to use it
from a shareholder perspective. Okay. And in terms of McCain, I think they compete in a very different business. We used to have a Lanvaston business. We sold that off, right? It's a separate company. So if you go into the U.S. stock market, you'll find there's a different company which now sells Lanvaston, right? So we are not in the business of French fries. Okay. So I won't be able to comment on that. But other than to say, no, we have no intention of getting into a category like French fries. Regarding the other businesses like Ready to Cook is a business. I think it will evolve. It has, however, shown promise over many years, right? And even today, I think the largest part of ready to eat food, if you will, is exported, right? That's true. Whether I think it is a company like Tasty Bite and others, there's a whole lot of players today in ready to eat. But I would say the bulk of that sale is export. I won't be able to give you an exact percentage, but I won't be surprised if it's as much as 70 to 80%, or probably more. Okay, so no, the answer is no. We have enough on our portfolio. We are concentrating on building a nice snacks presence, both with Acu and Sundrop. We are getting a lot of traction in foods. I shared the Euromonitor data with you. I shared the Tortillas data with you. If there's enough success there, we just need to keep building on that. Okay? All right. Thank you, Mehul. And thank you, everybody, for taking the time out to be with us on the call. It's 3 o'clock now, so we'll have to close here. Okay? Ray, over back to you to Aditya.
Sure. Thank you very much. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Aditya Joshi for any closing comments.
Yeah, we thank the management for their valuable time for the call, and we also thank all the participants on the call. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.